Kaf Tesam at Aleph, we're up to the beginning of the Perek. So the Mishnah says, Elu Nairos Sheyesh Lahen Kenas. The following women, the following girls, are subject to a kenas. What this refers to are halachos that appear in Parashas Kisetze, where if a man rapes a woman who's considered a nara is a girl between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, so the Mishnah is going to spell out that even certain scenarios of women who are otherwise psulos, that you're not allowed to marry for a variety of reasons, would still be subject to the kenas. The din is that the father of the girl who was raped is entitled to this kenas of 50 shekel, so the Mishnah says the following girls, the following women, are entitled to a kenas. Habaal ha-mamzeres v'yalhanasin. So the first set of people listed in the Mishnah, if a man has relations, again, with this girl who's between 12 and 12 and a half, even if she's a mamzeres, if she's an Asina, that means she comes from the nation of the Givonim, we spoke about this back in Yevamos, or if she's a Kusis, again, there's a whole discussion whether Kusim are really considered Jewish or not. Habal, ha-giyores, v'yal ha-shivuya, v'yal ha-shivcha, she-niftu, v'she-nizgayru, v'she-nishtacharu, p'chusos mi-benos shal-oshanim b'yom-echad, or if a person has relations with a woman who was either a convert, or she was taken into captivity, or she was a maidservant who was freed, but all of those changes in her life happened before she turned 3. So even if, let's say, she had relations or she was raped before the age of 3, we know in halacha that bia for a woman before the age of 3 is meaningless. So if, let's say, the girl converted or was taken into captivity or was freed as a shivcha prior to the age of 3, and so then she's essentially considered a besula, because again, this halacha that you have to pay a kenas if you rape this girl who's a nara only applies if she's a besula, as we'll talk about. Then the Mishnah says, haba alachoso v'alach So then the Mishnah rattles off a whole set of different types of the arayos, right? One has relations with their sister, with their aunt, either from their father or mother. Or again, if you have relations with your father's brother's wife, again, also an aunt, or with a woman who's a nida. So the Mishnah says that in those cases, you're chayav to pay a kenas as well. And the Mishnah adds that even though there's a chi of kares, again, in many of these cases, so we know that there's no mises bezdin. Again, this is the famous principle of kimle b'derabamine, which we'll talk a lot about as we go on throughout the perek. Okay, so asks the Gemara, hani naros psulos islu kenas ksheros lo. The Mishnah makes it sound like you only have to pay a kenas for raping this girl between 12 and 12 and a half, specifically if she's psulos. Specifically, if she's a mamzeres or an asina or your sister or a nida, what about just a regular girl who's between 12 and 12 and a half? So the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar, elu nairus psulo sheishlam kenas, habala mamzeres yel anasina velakusis. All the Mishnah meant to say was the following disqualified girls are also entitled to a kenas. In other words, of course, it's a given that a regular girl for sure is entitled to a kenas. The chiddush is that even these girls who are psulos are also entitled to a kenas. Okay, then the Gemara says, nara in ktana lo. So the obvious implication of the Mishnah, it's clear from the second word of the Mishnah, that the only type of girl who is entitled to a kenas is if she's a nara, if she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. If she's younger than that, then clearly she's not entitled to a kenas. So the question is, man tana, who is the tana that subscribes to that position? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rabbi Meiri, Desanya, Ktana mi basio mechad v'yad shetavi shtei sairos, yesh la mechar v'ein la kenas, umi shetavi shtei sairos v'yad sheti bager, yesh la kenas v'ein la mechar, divrei Rabbi Meir, shahaya Rabbi Meir omer, kol makom sheyesh mechar in kenas, v'chol makom sheyesh kenas ein mecher, v'chachamim omrim ktana mi bas shaloshanim biyom mechad v'ad sheti vager, yesh la kenas ein mecher lo. So the Gemara says, this is machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Meir, he says that if a girl is basically any age between the, let's say, one day old until she develops shtei sairos, which again is essentially when she's going to become a nara, so she's subject to what's called mecher. She can be sold as an ama ha'ivriya, but she is not entitled to a kenas. So let's say a 10-year-old girl is raped, so she would not be, so the father of the girl would not be entitled to a kenas. Once she develops the shtei sairos, once she becomes a nara, until she becomes a bogeres, which is that 6-month window between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, so then there is a kenas if she's raped, but on the other hand, the father is also no longer able to sell her as an ama ha'ivriya because she's now an independent woman. She's now 12. She's now considered to be bas mitzvah. And the Gemara says that basically Rameir holds that these two things are essentially interdependent. In other words, anytime you can sell your daughter as an ama ha'ivriya, she's not entitled to a kenas, and anytime she's entitled to a kenas, you can no longer sell her as an ama ha'ivriya. In other words, the two are basically inversely proportionate, according to Rabbi
but
Meir.
Rabbi, she's a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
She's damaged goods, then. She doesn't get compensated anymore.
Well, meaning again... Well, again, you're right. That's true. But here we're talking, again, there may be other penalties that the rapist might have to pay. Let's say boshes and pagam, other things that he may cause, shame to the girl's family or things like that. But he, all, 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 All we're discussing here is a very technical din that appears in Parashas Kiseitzeh of a kenas. This halacha of a kenas that the rapist has to shell out 50 shekel to the father of the girl is only true in very limited circumstances. It's only true if the girl is between 12 and 12 and a half. And again, as we go on in the parak, we'll see that there are even more limitations to this rule as well. So again, that's all according.
Yeah. What are we saying, that the father has the potential to sell her? Therefore, you can get money that way. But what does that have to do with the...
No, that has nothing to do with the kenas. Rameir happens to hold that those two halachos, about selling your daughter as an amah ha'ivriya, and the fact that if the girl gets raped, she's entitled to a kenas, the father's entitled to a kenas, are essentially inversely proportional. In other words, if one of the halachos apply, the other one does not. So in other words, Rameir says that as long as you can sell your daughter, which basically means, in other words, any time under the age of 12, she's not entitled to a kenas. Once she hits the age of 12, you can no longer sell her, but now she's entitled to a kenas. That's the basic idea. However, the chacham,
I kind of understand it, but I don't. What's the relationship?
There's no specific relationship necessarily between the two. It's just that they happen to coincide. It happens to be that you can't sell your daughter, you know, after she's 12, and it happens to be she's entitled to a kenas after she's 12. That's really what it is. Okay, but again, Correct, exactly. Okay, but then the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that a girl between the age of 3 until she becomes a Bogeres, the Chachamim say that she is entitled to a Kanas. So the Chachamim disagree with Rameir. They say, no, that a girl already from the age of 3 is entitled to a Kanas. So the Gemara says, does that mean that she's only entitled to a Kanas, but the father can no longer sell her as an Amaha Ivriya? So the Gemara says, no. Ema af Kanas m'ko mecher. So the Chachamim disagree with Rameir's entire premise. They say that you can sell your daughter as an Amaha Ivriya, and at the same time, she could also theoretically be entitled to a kenas. So they don't buy in to Reb Meir's whole, inversely proportional theory. They disagree with Reb Meir entirely. So then the Gemara asks, V'hani b'nei kenas aninu, v'yamai ikri kan v'lo siyali isha haru'uyalo. So now the Gemara questions the entire premise of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that all these women who are otherwise psulos, whether they're, kusim or givonim or relatives, they're all entitled to a kenas. So the question is, but the halacha of kenas, if you look at in Parshas Kiseitzeh, where the Torah talks about this din, it says velosi hieli isha. One of the halachos, one of the corollary halachos that follows from these dinim is that in certain instances we force the rapist to marry the girl. Now that's assuming that both the girl and the father actually want him to marry her. But again, that this goes back to a point that Danny was making before, because at that point the girl is kind of like damaged goods and maybe she has less marriage prospects. So in a sense, we force the rapist to marry her. But obviously, if the girl is otherwise forbidden to the rapist, if it's his sister, if it's a kusis, if it's a whatever, so then that halacha doesn't apply. So the question is, how could there ever be a kenas in any of these scenarios, in any case where the girl is puzzled for whatever reason? Doesn't that undermine the whole concept of lo sihi el isha? That now we're going to force the rapist to marry the girl, assuming that she and the father wants it, but if the girl is forbidden to him anyway because she's a relative or because she's a kusis or because she's whatever, so doesn't that undermine the entire halacha? How could there be a kenas in a scenario where the girl is otherwise forbidden? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Eish Lakish, Nara Nara Hana'ara, Chad Legufe, V'chad La'asuye Chayve Lavin, V'chad La'asuye Chayve Kresos, Rav Papa Amar Besula Besulos Ha Besulos, Chad Legufe, V'chad La'asuye Chayve Lavin, V'chad La'asuye Chayve Kresos. The Gemara quotes a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Papa based on different formulations or terminologies that the psukim use. So according to Reish Lakish, the focus is on the superfluous hey in the word Hana'ara, V'lakach La'avi Hana'ara, that you give the father of the girl 50 silver pieces. The question is, why do you have to specify the girl? There's only one girl being discussed in this context. So the Gemara says the first mention of Nara is just to teach me the din itself, that that there's even a concept that you have to pay kenas even in general, even for a regular girl. Then the second mention of Nara teaches me that even if the girl is forbidden to you by dint of regular Isser Lava, regular Chiv Malkus, there's still going to be a kenas. And then the third Chiddush, that extra hey from Hana'ara, teaches me that even if the girl is forbidden to you on pain of a of Kares, there's still going to be a kenas. So that's according to Reish Lakish. Rav Papa derives the same drasha, but from a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim where it says, Kesef Yishkol Kimoar Habisulos. Again, it talks about raping the girl. It says you have to pay her like the amount of a dowry of a virgin. So it says, ha bisulos, of the virgins. So again, the same drasha. So the first bisula teaches me the din itself that you have to pay when you rape the girl. The second teaches me that even if she's ushered to you by on pain of a chi of lav, and then the extra ha bisulos teaches me that even if it's a chi of kares, you're still going to have to pay the kenas. So the Gemara then asks, v'Rav Papa, my time alo amar ki Reish Lakish. Why does Rav Papa not expound the pasuk like Reish Lakish? So the Gemara says, ahumi boyle l'chida abaye, da amar abaye, ba'aleha v'misa pater, shene emar, v'nasan la'avi hanara lavi nara velo lavi mesa. So according to Rav Papa, he derives a different halacha, the halacha that Abaye puts forth, which is that let's say the man raped the girl and then the girl subsequently died, so then he's no longer chayav to pay the kanas, because the Gemara derives from the pasuk, it says you're going to give the father of the nara, you're going to pay her the kanas. Once the girl dies, he's no longer the father of the nara, he's the father of the dead girl. So therefore, there's no longer a kanas that's going to be paid. On the other hand, Reish Lakish my time alo amar kirav papa. Why does Reish Lakish not buy in to Rav Papa's drasha? So the Gemara says, "Humi boy le gzeir shava disanya kesef yishkol kimoar habesulos sheyehizek kimoar habesulos kimoar habesulos kazeh." Because again, Rav Papa derives gzeir shava from here. Again, this is the pasuk that we referenced before from Parshas Mishpatim. It says that you have to pay the girl that you raped. You pay her the value of a dowry of the ksuba of a virgin. So the Gemara says that it's, in other words, the chiddush is that that's the amount that you have to pay. The 50 shekel is what you're going to have to pay in a scenario where the man raped the woman. Okay, then the Gemara says,
Rabbi, yeah. What happens if there's no father?
So it's a good question. Right, so if there's no father, the Gemara later on is going to talk about this. So there, again, once the girl turns 12, the assumption is that she's basically on her own for certain halachos, but not for other halachos. She's under her father's domain to a degree. The father's dead, so then she's on her own anyway. So then at that point, she would be entitled to the kanas herself. As again, the Gemara is going to talk about this a little bit later on. Okay, then the Gemara says,
when we're saying yes, the fine of a ketubah, is that what we're...
So that's a good question. So that's a whole discussion, what exactly this pasuk even means. What does it mean, kemora abesulos? There was a whole discussion earlier in the Masechta, if you remember, back at Daf Yud, whether ketubah is doraisa or derabanan. So that's a whole discussion anyway, about whether the concept of ketubah is doraisa, whether the amount of ketubah is doraisa. So it's a whole discussion what exactly this phrase even means. But again, for now, we're just going to say that he has to dish out, you know, this amount of money, the 50 shekel, in the case where he raped the woman. Okay. And the Gemara says, v'reish lakish na mimi boy lelechid ha'abaye. Why does Reish Lakish not need a bayis drasha that if the girl died, then the rapist is no longer chayav to pay? For Rav Papa, nami mi bayi le gzeira shava. Why does Rav Papa not require the pasuk to teach me the gzeira shava regarding the amount that the rapist has to pay? So the Gemara says, all right, Ela shita kray ksive. Nara nara hanara, besula besulos ha besulos, tre le gufayu, chad le chide abaye, v'chad le gzeira shava, yachru le tre, chad la asui chayve lavin, v'chad la asui chayve kreso. So basically, if you take these two psukim together and all the superfluous letters and words that appear in the psukim, you can basically come to the conclusion that everything we said is correct. In other words, we have the two psukim to teach me the din itself, that there's a chiyuv to pay the kanas. You have Abaye's drasha that if the girl dies, there's no kanas. You have Rapapa's you have the gzeira shava that teaches me that the amount that you have to pay is based on this amount of moar habesulos. And then the final the superfluous haze that we have from habesulos and hana'ara teach me the fact that even if the girl is forbidden to you by on pain of a chi of lav or a chi of kares, there's still going to be a kanas. And the Gemara points out, Uli afuke me haitana, desanya, velo sihiel isha, shimon atimni omer isha sheyesh bahavaya, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh omer isha haruya lakaima. So there are two other opinions in the Tanaim that disagree with this premise. We've been assuming up until now that even if the girl is forbidden to you by on pain of a lav or on pain of a chi of kares, there's still going to be a kanas. You still have to pay if you rape the woman. However, there seems to be a machlokes about this point. According to Shimon HaTimni, in other words, if as long as the woman is what's called Yesh Bahavaya, which basically means that Kiddushin would be Tofe. So as long as Kiddushin would take effect, so then you have to pay the Kanas. If Kiddushin would not take effect, then you don't. We, of course, Paskin, the whole Machlokas that we referenced many times back in Yevamos, we Paskin that Kiddushin is Tofe on a regular Lav, but not on a Chi of Kares. So according to Shimon HaTimni, there would not be a Kanas if a man raped a woman that was forbidden to him on pain of a Chi of Kares. According to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, he takes it even a step further. He says that there's no Kanas unless the girl is someone that you can otherwise marry, which means that even if you raped a woman who was only forbidden to you on pain of a chi of lav, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, you would not have to pay a kanas in that case either. So both of them are disagreeing with the premise of the Tana of our Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, "My binai, what's the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh?" So Amar Rav Zera, Mamzera Sunasina Ika binayu. Lamanda Amar Yesh Bahavaya, Hanami Yesh Bahavaya, Lamanda Amar Ruuya Lakaima, Haina Ruuya Lakaima. So the Gemara says that the nafkamina is for a case of a mamzer or a nesina. The prohibition to marry a woman who's a mamzeres or to marry a woman who's a nesina, meaning she comes from the nation of the Givonim, that's only a regular law. There's no chi of kares if a man goes ahead and marries a mamzeres or a nesina. So that means that according to Shimon HaTimni, if a man were to go ahead and rape a mamzeres or a nesina, he would still be chayef to pay the kanas because the kiddushin is technically toe-faced even though he's not really allowed to marry her. But according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, that the standard is, are you allowed to marry her in the first place? So then there would not be a kanas in a scenario where a man raped a woman who was a mamzeres or an asina. So then Gemara clarifies even further. Ula Rabbi Akiva de Amar in kiddushin tovsen bechayve lavin my benai. What about according to Rabbi Akiva? We know we've referenced this opinion of Rabbi Akiva many times back in Yevamos. Rabbi Akiva famously holds that kiddushin does not work even by a regular lav. If you try to marry a woman who's forbidden to you, even on pain of a regular lav, Rabbi Akiva says that kiddushin doesn't work. So the question is, according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the nafkamina? What's the difference now between Shimon HaTimni and Rosh HaMeben Asya? Because at the end of the day, according to Rabbi Akiva, kiddushin is not going to take effect even for a regular lav. So the Gemara says, "Ikabeinayo aman lechoin gadol ki Rabbi Simai desani Rabbi Simai omer min hakol osa Rabbi Akiva mamzerin chutz me aman lechoin gadol shaharei amra Torah lo yikach v'lo yichalel chilulin hu osa ve'in osa mamzerin." This is necessary. This is only true according to Rabbi Simai's understanding of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara explains that the nafkamina is regarding a case of an almana to a kohen gadol. Now we know that there is a prohibition for an almana to marry a kohen gadol, and Rabbi Akiva basically said that any regular lav, if a man went ahead and married someone that he wasn't allowed to marry on pain of a regular lav, Rabbi Akiva holds that would create mamzerus, because according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no kiddushin when you marry a woman where there's a regular lav. The one exception, says Rabbi Akiva, or says Rabbi Simai within Rabbi Akiva, is when it comes to an almana marrying a kohen gadol. Why is that? Because in Parshas Emor, the Torah talks about the prohibition against the kohen gadol marrying an almana. It says lo yikach velo yichalel. It says the kohen gadol cannot marry an almana, and he shouldn't do that, because otherwise he's going to make his children into chalolim, which means that his kids will become chalalim, but they're not going to become mamzerim. So according to Rabbi Simai, this is the one exception. This case is the nafkamina according to Rabbi Simai's version of Rabbi Akiva. Namely, according to this version of Rabbi Akiva, if a kohen gadol were to go ahead and rape an almana, so that means that according to Shimon HaTimni, so there is kiddushin there, so he would still be chayav to pay the kenas. But according to Rosh HaMeben Menasseh, he's obviously not allowed to marry an almana. That's against the din of the Torah, so there would be no kenas. So according to Rabbi Simai's version of Rabbi Akiva, that would be a nafkamina, the case of an almana to a kohen gadol. Then the Gemara has another version of Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
She still has to be between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. Yes, correct. And she also has to be a basula, by the way, which means that she has to be an almana from Erisin. So that's a whole separate issue. Right. Okay, yeah.
A little far-fetched.
So I think it's more than a little far-fetched, but yeah, okay.
Only a little.
Okay. Then, okay, then the Gemara says, "Ule Rabbi Yeshivav de Amar Bo Unitzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef Shehaya Omer Kol Sheim Lubia Be Yisrael Havad Mamzer My Benayu." Rabbi Yeshivav has an even more limited understanding of Rabbi Akiva, an even more machmir understanding of Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that there's no kiddushin by a regular lav. He's the one who says that mamzerus is created from a regular lav. So Rabbi Simai put the brakes on that a little bit by saying that, well, the one exception is by an almana to a kohen gadol. Rabbi Yeshivav disagrees even with that. He says that any time that there's a prohibition against having relations with this woman, which of course includes an almana to a kohen gadol, according to Rabbi Yeshivav's version of Rabbi Akiva, that creates mamzerus. If that's true, so now we're back to square one. What's the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Ben Menasseh? In either case, there should not be a kenas, because kiddushin is not tofes according to Rabbi Yeshivav's version of Rabbi Akiva, and they're also, of course, not allowed to remain married, because a kohen gadol is never allowed to marry an almana. So the Gemara says, no, ikabenayu chayve esei mitri ve'adomi. The nafkamina, according to Rabbi Yeshivav's version of Rabbi Akiva, would be a person who's only forbidden on pain of an iser aseh, for example, a mitzri or an adomi. What does that mean? So in Parshas Kisezi, the Torah talks about how a third generation mitzri or adomi is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. Now, the Torah never says that a first or second generation mitzri or adomi cannot, but it's obviously implied from the pasuk that the first two generations are forbidden, because it says that once you hit the third generation, dor shlishi yavol lahem b'kalah shem, the third generation can marry, implying, of course, that the first two cannot. So, but again, because the Torah doesn't spell that out, that's what we call an iser aseh. It's an iser that's inferred from a positive commandment. So according to Rabbi Yeshiva's version of Rabbi Akiva, the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rosh HaMeben Menasseh would be if a man went ahead and raped, let's say, a woman who was a first or second generation mitzri or edomi, would you have to pay a kenas? So according to Shimon HaTimni, there would be a kenas, because kiddushin is tofes, even according to Rabbi Yeshiva's version of Rabbi Akiva. But according to Rosh HaMeben Menasseh, there is no kenas, because you're not allowed to marry them, even though it's only on pain of a regular iser aseh.